NPR News, I'm at Ari Shapiro.
And I'm at NPR Montaigne.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. July hard red winter wheat, 552, up 10 and a quarter. September, 562 and a half, up 10 and a half. Soft July, 530 and a quarter, up 6 and a half. September, 534 and a half, up 5 and a quarter. July corn, 364 and a half, up 1. September, 371 and a quarter, up 1. December, 381 and three quarters, up 3/4. Go out to July of 16, 406 and a half, up 3/4. July soybeans, 944 down 2.5. September, 923 and a quarter, down 2.5. Go out to March at 932, they're down 4. July soybean meal, 305.30 down 40. July soybean oil, 3503 up 50. June live cattle, 153.65, up 42.5. August feeders, 223.17.5, they're up 60. And June lean hogs are 82.40, they are up 20. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, after what has been a fairly volatile week, we end the week on a more muted note. But the weekly charts look pretty good if
look
you are
nice.
a bull, rather.
No, they look very nice, and I would say the monthly charts are also starting to shape up. That move of 52 cents off the lows in July wheat, which was tested again on Monday, and a low that helped push some of these commodity index charts that I keep track of, Dave. To be able to hold a major 62% retracement that spans about 40 years has helped really solidify this market. We had the dollar going in our favor going into Thursday's close, but then Greece defaulted on an IMF debt payment of a little under 300, or right around 300 million euros on Friday. Doesn't sound like a lot, but they're the first developed country in the history of the IMF to do that. So that means they're the first developed country to do that since the IMF was created back after World War II at Bretton Woods. So the financial interest rate bond currency markets are really in a volatile, nervous state right now because they just quite frankly don't wonder if another 2010-2011 scenario is it going to play out. Right now the two-year sovereign bond yield in Greece is around 25%. It got up to over 360% by early 2012. So this is definitely, I think, playing a role in these weekly charts. The 200-month moving average in corn is being tested. Some of the 10-week moving average in corn is being tested. You've got some really big numbers that you're testing right now. It'd be nice to have the dollar on your side and not have to rely so much upon wheat weather, and not have to rely so much upon bean planting weather like we've had to do here this last 24 hours.
If Greece was to have to leave the Eurozone either due to political reasons surrounding this financial crisis or just the crisis itself and not being able to make its loan payments, what does that do to grains?
I think Germany would be the one hit the most in the interest rate markets, and the German Bund would be hit the hardest, and since they're the largest economy in the Eurozone, they would probably create a higher bond yield market, interest rate market for sovereign bonds. That would probably spill over into the United States, and that would help allow the dollar between being a safe haven, again, like gold, I suspect, if that were to happen, Dave, it would also help it catch a better bid because interest rates would start to climb and that would attract more money into the dollar. And I think it's important to note that as the Greece conditions have worsened, the emerging market capital flows, money flows into emerging markets like Brazil and even China have gone down to levels not seen since 2009. So that's a very negative footprint, in my opinion, when it comes to grains and commodities.
Let's turn our attention then to some micro fundamentals, which are up and coming. And the one most closely on the horizon is next week's WASDE.
And I think this is a potential, along with those technicals we're talking about and the fundamentals of the weather that we're talking about and the fundamentals of the Greece and dollar we're talking about, it seems as though a lot is converging as we close out this week technically and as we go into the fundamentals of next week's report on the 10th. And I say that because I think the trade was very caught off guard by the lack of bean planting that we saw in Monday's report. We only made 10 percentage points advance to 71%. States like Kansas, which I think is very appropriate and accurate of what they put in the numbers, at 21% planted beans. Last year we were at 72%. Iowa came in at 78% versus 92% last year. Nebraska 74% versus 95% last year. There are states like Ohio and Minnesota that are 20-plus points ahead of last year, but I think overall, thinking that in the trade mindset going into next week's report of increasing acres here in the United States and increasing supplies coming from South America, that beans were probably going to be the most negative feature to the trade. And one of the biggest reasons, and this is really key to this report, I think, Dave, is it was going to be one of the biggest reasons to not buy wheat and corn next week because it could help pull the wheat and corn back down again and make new lows. I think all these things are on the table now with this week's weather, especially west of the Mississippi River. So next week's report becomes really crucial to helping the beans maybe find support and additional stimulation of short covering in the whole agriculture complex, especially if the dollar's not working in favor of the grains, i.e. going down.
And we might have had a little bit of a signal of that yesterday on the export report news, which were not favorable, and yet the bean market doesn't break.
I felt the exact same way. I felt as though after the export market news, the weekly export sales came out, the trade said to themselves, maybe supply's falling faster than demand again. And I think that's exactly, you hit it on the nose, as you oftentimes do. You hit it on the nose as far as the trade psychology going into this report, that the path of least resistance has been supply is increasing more than demand, even for the beans, because of South America and U.S. acres. And keep in mind, these yields that we have right now are fairly high. And I know there's a lot of good corn and beans being grown east of the Mississippi right now, but I think when you're talking about 46 bushel yields in beans and 166.8 in corn, and you're on the top end to begin with, you need everybody participating. So it's not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it raises the question that maybe beans won't be the leader to the downside for the next 30 days. So next week's report, to me, is most important for the beans, not the corn, not the wheat.
What do we do with this if we're a hedger and we're also talking about your overvalue levels?
I think with the wheat and the corn, you're still undervalue at this stage. And with the beans, you are right in the middle, kind of towards the undervalue, but not undervalue in the strictest sense of the word. And so I think what you want to do is maybe peel back some of your hedges. I did that a week ago on the beans, went from 100 back to about 70% hedged. I'll do more of reduction in hedges if I see these technicals break higher on a weekly close and recommend some 14 reownership in corn with some of the clients. The key to 2015, in my opinion, is if you sold corn at a cheaper level than you wanted to late last year or early this year, try and find a way to buy back in, risk 5 to 7 cents, but have the upside potential of making 25 to 35 cents. That 4 to 1, 5 to 1, 6 to 1 risk to reward ratio would be very, very appropriate here. And you've got these major lows that you can work off of to be able to jump back out if you don't see that rally happen. And it's key to preserve equity right now.
About 45 seconds. Talk about the end-of-the-month report's early handicap on that.
Well, it's going to be tough to get a bullish report out of the corn market unless you see a big jump in the feed sector, and I don't see a big jump in the feed sector right now. Yes, the weights are still high, but I think between the export market in the corn and the livestock numbers that I've seen so far, Dave, and the avian flu that we've had to contend with, I don't see a very easy path for a bullish corn report like we've maybe come to be get more used to at the end of June.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day,
you
sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. July corn, 363 down a half. September, 369 and three quarters down a half. December, 380 and a quarter down three quarters. July soybeans, 943 and three quarters down two and three quarters. September, 923 down two and three quarters. November, 920 and a half. It's down three and one half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.